Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Do a little history lesson here for the next half hour or so. A man named Friedrich Lochner, who he's not only proximate to us in the date, he was born on the 23rd of September back in 1822, so there's a date to be remembered, but also, in our case, a place. He actually was a Lutheran pastor not too far from here in good old Collinsville, Illinois, where we broadcast Issues, Etc. I don't know the connection, but we're going to find out pretty soon. And he had a, well, like many pastors do, he had a tumultuous time, at least through part of his pastorate. We know him by some of his writing in connection with an old publication that is well worth reading called Der Lutheran, or The Lutheran. Joining us to talk about Friedrich Lochner, the founder of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's first teacher's seminary. There's something else on his plate. Pastor Joel Basely is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translator and publisher of many of the works of C.F.W. Walther. Joel, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Tell us the story about how he got kicked out of a congregation. That's always an interesting thing for a pastor.
Well, it was just before the Missouri Synod formed, actually. He was serving a congregation that was affiliated with the Michigan Synod, as it was called back then. And he had actually taken the call to this congregation that had a sort of a suspicious name. It was the Vereinigte Lutherische und Reformierte Salemsgemeinde, which means Salem Church of the United Lutheran and Reformed. There were many American congregations that were united in that way, and the only condition he gave in taking that call is that they were going to be Lutheran and not Reformed, and they were going to promise to be Lutheran in all of their practice. And they promised it to him before he took his vows, and then quickly reneged on it and forced him out of the ministry, even though he was faithful to his promise, but they weren't.
So he was ousted from that congregation for a problem, as you mentioned just a moment ago, that was remarkably common in early American Lutheranism and also in European Lutheranism at the time, an attempt to force together two conflicting confessions of faith.
That's absolutely right, and it was a very common problem. In fact, a number of our Missouri Synod forefathers, especially that were sent by Leahy as he was, and Kramer up in Frankenmuth, and several others in the area, they all walked out of that Michigan Synod over that issue in a short amount of time. And that was a key event in the founding of the Missouri Synod. As they left that synod, the Missouri Synod very quickly was founded on the heels of that.
Who was he? Tell us about his life.
Well, he started out, of course, in Germany. Was born, as you said, on September 23rd, 1822, in Nuremberg. Nuremberg's an important Reformation city in Germany, and he comes from a long line of pastors, you know, grandfathers and great-grandfathers that were in the Lutheran tradition and pastors in the church. He had have a talent for theology, and his parents wanted him to become a pastor. And he wanted to, too, but economics didn't shape up for that, and he tried several things, including training to be a teacher and working in some sort of bronze art, being an engraver. But he had a real desire to be in mission work, and when Winneken came from America to give lectures in Germany about the sad plight of German Lutherans here in America, he studied for a year at a seminary in Schwabach, and eventually then in 1844 came to study for just 5 months at Wilhelm Leahy's seminary, where he met Kramer and was described by Leahy as his most gifted student. So a deep background in Lutheranism and a sincere heart to do mission led him to get on that ship along with August Kramer and to land in New York and eventually make their way to Michigan in order to start that mission work in Frankenmuth among the Indians.
So this he was deep in the heart of what was kind of a confessional Lutheran missionary movement of which the Missouri Synod greatly benefited.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to imagine the Synod these days, if it were just the Saxons, if they were unable to unite with a lot of these good missionary men from Leahy that were trained. We owe a great debt to that branch of the founding of Synod.
So how does he come to be eventually a pastor in Collinsville, Illinois, where we broadcast the program, and encountering there not the Reformed errors, but in many ways a confession of faith that may have started on the, you know, across the ocean, but was pretty much made in America, Methodism.
Yes, as those problems in Michigan occur, he and the rest of the Leahy men, as I said, walked out of the Michigan Synod and ended up down in Fort Wayne in order to organize their mission society to the Indians independently. And they learn about, in Fort Wayne, they learn about the Saxons and become involved in the meetings that eventually set up the Synod. And Lochner and Kramer and a number of those are founding members. They were at the Constituting Convention in Chicago in 1847 when the Missouri Synod founded. But having been deposed by his congregation, he ends up in St. Louis, and one of the articles in Der Lutheraner, one of the short ones, says, "I'm a house guest here at the publishers," which means CFW Walther, and it was through his association with Walther that he not only meets his wife, who is a sister-in-law to CFW Walther, but he also catches wind of this congregation in Collinsville that is vacant and looking for a pastor, and he takes a call. And that's sort of rural. Is it still sort of rural?
It's affectionately known as the Metro East, so it's not as rural as it used to be.
Well, that's good. Him again with his heart for missions, isn't satisfied just to serve his flock, but is worried also about the lost that might be in the area. So there's a town called Staunton,
yes,
in Macoupin County, Illinois, and he describes it as about 30 miles from him, which is quite a distance if you think about going by horse and carriage and that sort of thing. But he finds a group of Germans there that are unserved and agrees to go there, maybe every 6 weeks or so in order to teach them and to present service with them, and they're agreed to do that. And he serves them for a number of months in that capacity. But when he's gone, some Methodist missionaries come in and start bad-mouthing him. You know, he's got this agreement with them, and they're carrying it through. And this Methodist comes and starts talking, saying lies about Lutherans, like that they pray to and worship saints, and that the Lutherans are loveless because they won't commune everybody, but just Lutherans. And the Methodist missionary says, "I will serve you for nothing, and I'll come more regularly. And you don't need that Lutheran anymore."
Let's take a break right there. When we come back, I want to pick up the story of Friedrich Lochner, the founder of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's first teacher seminary. And Pastor Joel Basley will be with us for just a few minutes on the other side of the break to round off the story. He is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, and translator and publisher of several works by C.F.W. Walther, and not a small amount of that publication that he's mentioned here several times, Der Lutheraner. When we come back, we'll spend some more time with Pastor Joel Basley. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, the first, well, it's maybe not the first murder story. It might be the second murder story in the Bible. And then we'll be talking with Gretchen Passantino on this day, I believe, it was claimed that the angel Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith and delivered to him golden plates upon which were written the Book of Mormon, and he translated them. That's what it's claimed happened on this day back in history. We'll find out what Gretchen Pasentino has to say about that in the last few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back with Hour 2.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Friedrich Lochner. He's founder of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's first teacher seminary. He was born on September 23rd, 1827. For the next few minutes, we'll continue his story and finish it up with Pastor Joel Basely. Then Pastor Tom Baker will be alongside to teach Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Joel, let's finish the story you were telling before. He's trying to help some kind of disenfranchised Lutherans in this neck of the woods in Collinsville and Staunton on the east side of the Mississippi River, and the Methodist missionaries are bad mouthing him and offering to serve the congregations for free. Does he tell this story in some of his writing, Der Lutheraner's writing?
Yes, this is a reported account by Lochner himself that he sends in order to still sort of illustrate the character of what Methodists are like. And again, this is just not an anecdote, but this is sort of a consistent way in which the Methodists sort of infiltrate and try to step in to another man's call. And again, in this situation, you have to think about it in his eyes. He's traveling hours to get to this congregation because these people are starving for the gospel. And this is a great personal sacrifice on his part to be away from his young wife and his congregation in order to serve them. And he is giving them what he is convinced is what their souls, what will feed their souls and bring them the Savior and the comfort of the gospel. And he's seeing it being well received by the people. And then you've got this fellow coming in the back door and trying to disrupt that good work that the Holy Spirit is doing through him, and he's pretty hot about it. Evidently, from the anecdote here, you can tell he sort of wrote a missive so that anyone who wasn't there when he said these things would read it, and he says some pretty stringent things against this Methodist missionary, that he's a thief and a robber. And so once he's there in Staunton conducting service and service is over, and the Methodist missionary comes riding in on his horse and comes up to where he's conducting service there in town, and he strides up to Lochner and extends his hand and wants to shake his hand, and Lochner will have none of it, and he has a confrontation with him, and he's angry because he's feeding Christ's sheep according to the arrangement and sort of the call that they've issued him to do that, and this fellow is interfering with it. So he's really kind of hot about it.
How would you describe his other major accomplishments?
after leaving Collinsville in 1950, he takes a call up to Trinity in Milwaukee, which is sort of the flagship church up there in Milwaukee, where eventually the college is going to be, the First Teachers College. He's following up Pastor Keel, who is a fine pastor who has instituted traditional worship, a good liturgy there. And Lochner is noted for even improving that good liturgy and becoming a model for liturgical churches in the Missouri Synod. Eventually, in about 1875, he'll move to Springfield. But he is well-written. A lot of his things are not translated yet, but I understand from people that are really liturgical scholars today that there's a book that he wrote there in the 1800s that's still in German that is just a seminal piece for understanding the Lutheran liturgy, and it's one that probably should be translated into English. It's Der Hauptgottesdienst in der Lutheranischen Kirche, the worship in the Lutheran Church. And it sets the reason for that we do every part of the liturgy and shows how every part of the liturgy is tied to the saving word and the sacrament of the Lord, and that every detail about it needs to show forth and shine a light on the grace of God throughout the service. And that's really his big contribution, besides being a founding father and sort of uniting the Leahy men with the Saxons in St. Louis, that he's a great hymnologist, a great writer about the hymns and about the liturgy, and really set the foundation for 100 years of Lutheran worship in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And this is untranslated yet?
Yes. I was in Baltimore a couple weeks ago on vacation. I got to spend an afternoon with Charles McLean. I don't know if you know Pastor McLean, but he's sort of one of the old hands, one of the real experts in the liturgy. And he was extolling Lochner to me almost all afternoon and how much we need to go back and hear some of the things that he said.
I want you, in the last few minutes that we have here, I want you to debunk a myth for me. And it's not just Lochner that we've been talking about here in the last few minutes, but it's almost to a man. These confessional Lutherans that came to this country found themselves on the perimeter of civilization, sometimes beyond that, and didn't just sit there, you know, as we would say, as according to the stereotype, just sit there and found congregations and kind of make themselves comfortable. Debunk the myth that to be a thoroughgoing confessional Lutheran is to not care about or to have no time for missions in the church.
Well, to be a confessional Lutheran is basically to be a believer, and to be a believer is to know the richness of the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. First of all, for one's own personal salvation, having a sense of being a profound sinner that needs a profound Savior, and seeing the richness and beauty of the grace of God in our doctrine and in our liturgy and our worship and in every part. And then seeing the lost state of man, that man without this great light is just lost. It's like being stuck in a pit, and eventually that pit's going to open up and drop into something worse. And so to be a confessional Lutheran is to understand the richness of the gospel and the profound needs of those that are fallen, and to look with the eyes of, I don't want to say the eyes of God. We can't look at people the way God does. But to see the tragedy of people who do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord, and to understand how much God loves them and did so much for them, and the great honor of being able to share that with them and bring that to them in the office of the ministry, because that's what the office of the ministry is for, to share that gospel to lost sinners, just as the pastor is a lost sinner. All of his congregation are lost sinners, but so and especially are those who are not in that congregation. So to be confessional is to have faith and to know the greatness of the deliverance that we have in Christ, and the profound need of those that don't have that, and to weep over that, and to agonize over that, and to expend any effort and all effort, even one's life, in order to bring that richness to those who are lost. That's what Christ did for each and every one of us, and that's the privilege that we have as the Christian Church to bring that to others.
Pastor Joel Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translator and publisher of several works by C.F.W. Walther. You can find out more about these works under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Look for Mark 5 Publication. It's right there, issuesetc.org. Click Listen On Demand. Joel, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.